You're listening to CKUT broadcast on 90.3 FM in Montreal and online worldwide at ckut.ca. I'm Jules Bigel. Montrealers are going on week four of school closures. That's due to periodic strikes from the Common Front, which represents school staff and Anglophone teachers as part of its broad coalition of unions, as well as an unlimited general strike from 65,000 Francophone teachers in the FAE. Teachers in both unions have been picketing outside of schools and staging marches throughout the city. CKUT caught up with them at a protest on Wednesday outside of Premier François Legault's Montreal office. One of the unions out in force was the Quebec Provincial Association of Teachers, which represents some 8,000 teachers in Quebec's English language school boards. CKUT spoke with President Stephen Lesueur, who called for more provincial movement at the bargaining table.
We want him to accelerate the negotiations. It's time, year and a half, it's time to move it along. In the last couple of weeks, it's finally started the real negotiations. So first 50 meetings, I guess, was for nothing, it would seem. But it's starting to move, so we're hopeful something happens within the next couple weeks.
You know, there's been the threat of an unlimited general strike. Obviously, Common Front is only on strike for this week since Friday.
Right.
But you're hopeful then that something could actually move around the holidays, so that isn't a necessity, is what you're saying.
That would be great, but you never know with the Legault government. So if something blocks at the table, everybody's ready to go to unlimited if need be.
How are people feeling with so much uncertainty right before the holiday season? What are you hearing from people in your union?
Well, of course, everybody's concerned, but I think they're happy we didn't go right to general unlimited strike before Christmas and did our 5 days this week, starting last Friday. And I think as we saw today, they're still mobilized and ready to do what they have to do.
I mean, a lot of people have been talking this year about teachers, in part because we had this huge teacher shortage going into the fall semester. I mean, how has it been to sort of see the government putting in big bills, centralizing the teaching profession, you know, taking so long at the negotiating table and still having this huge shortage in the sector? Why do you feel like there's this kind of mismatch, if I could put it that way?
Well, I'm going to go... You know, they're not really looking at making our profession attractive to end that shortage. I mean, it's a long-term problem, and what they're showing is just going to make it worse. So I'm hoping they accelerate and give us something that will attract more people to the profession.
That sentiment was shared among the teachers who spoke to CKUT. Here's K-5 teacher Sonia Bolazovic.
So it's interesting, we were just having a conversation about good governance, and I feel like the government has a responsibility and they have one job, and it is to make sure that their people and the needs of their people are met. And this is not being done. It's been neglected for such a long time. And so now we're digging in our heels. It has to change.
How are you seeing this in like the negotiations that have been ongoing? Would you say that, how would you characterize the government in terms of their posture towards jobs like yours, professions like yours?
Mm-hmm. Disrespectful. I think that is the number one word. That's how I feel. I feel very disrespectful, disrespected. I feel as a professional, as a woman, as a citizen of Quebec, I feel very disrespected.
Yeah. Can you tell me like a little bit more about that? What is it precisely that has made you feel this way towards the government?
I think it's the lack of listening. So, funny anecdotal story, Mr. Drainville came and visited our school last September when he just became education minister. And it was so... And I had the opportunity to actually sit in front of him. We were talking about Bill 21, which is... I mean, it's... I can't even go into the depth of how disrespectful and quote-unquote racist it is. I was sitting with colleagues of mine who come from all walks of life, and one of them, visibly brown skin, was telling him right in front of his face, you understand that you have narrowed that population. If I don't see people teaching that look like me, you have now obliterated that possibility for me, which goes against everything we do in education, right? To open minds. And yet I'm sitting in front of our education minister who is so closed-minded. It was kind of one of those, is this actually happening moment for me, really.
So you're a K-5 educator. Obviously you will know about the comments he made this summer during the teacher shortage where, you know, there weren't enough profs to actually like fill classes. Yes. And he kind of said, well, you know, we can put the inexperienced folks in the kindergarten classes where they don't have to do that much. How does that feel as one of the educators he's talking about there?
But I mean, it's so telling. How telling is that? How little do you know and understand about pedagogy? And that is where this is why we're being so loud. None of the arguments or any of the offers that they're putting on table are pedagogically driven. None of them. It is a political game and it has nothing to do with our profession at all.
It seems like, I mean, from what I've heard and what I've seen, that the Quebec population is in support of unions like yours, QPAT, the Common Front. Yeah. Why do you think there's such a strong, just like population-wide base of approval of what you guys are doing, even though it's like rounds and rounds of strikes this fall, maybe an unlimited general strike in the works? What do you think is happening there?
Because people see it. It is right in front of their faces. I think also COVID exposed a lot of the issues. And I do remember hearing one of my colleagues saying that, you know, our system is being held by duct tape. And now they're not offering us sewing kits to fix it. And to a point where they're not even offering us more duct tape. They're actually ripping it further. So we don't have a choice. We have to. And, you know, my daughter is second year McGill in education. And I just look at her and I say, this has to change. It has to change. And not for, like, my working conditions, I'm going to push through. Okay, I've made it 27 years. I'm not going to give up now. But I watch young colleagues. I'm a mentor teacher in my school. And I work with teachers in their first 5 years, and my heart bleeds for them because what they see coming forward is tragic.
Yeah, tell me more about that. Like, what are some of the things that you think are pushing young people to either not choose the profession or they come in, do a few years and say, like, yeah, I'm already burned out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's truly, truly the vast needs of our students now is drastically changing. Look, the makeup of society is changing. The makeup of the family is changing. The way that families now prioritize schooling is changing. And so we need to kind of move along with it. But in order to do that, we do need to change some of the systems that are in place in our schools. And so the old, you know, let's put 25 kids in a kindergarten classroom and then just push them along, that doesn't work anymore because the needs are so specific to every single 25 of them. So we really need to, you know, add in more professionals to support those teachers.
It wasn't just QPAT out on Wednesday. There was a contingent from the FAE who's been on strike for over 2 weeks now. Here's Ellen Blaha, who's an English teacher at a primary school in the Francophone system, talking about the strike and some of the reasons behind it.
Yeah, so every day at my school, we kind of signed up for a AM shift or PM shift, which is 3 hours in the morning or 3 hours morning and afternoon. We reduced that to 2 hours after many, many days. Actually, it's been warmer, but just it's be a bit tiring, and it's a lot. But the FAE does a lot of days where they're like, okay, we're going to go protest at this government office, or yesterday we had a march on that first day of the strike, or the second day there was a huge march with 50,000 teachers. So when they have stuff like that to switch it up is kind of nice.
Seeing that march, all the folks who were out in their red toques coming together through the streets of Montreal, it has to feel, you know, like you're part of something bigger. How did you feel seeing all of the teachers coming out yesterday?
Both yesterday and the first march, especially the first one because it was so huge. It's just kind of like you're so discouraged that like you don't get a contract, like the government doesn't seem to want to negotiate or listen to you. And then but then you go to a march like that and it's just like so many people and you feel like really great to be part of something and you feel like there's so many people there with you that really changes it from being like being discouraged to being kind of like, okay, I'm part of something bigger, and it's really motivating.
Yeah, how are you feeling about the community support as well? Because obviously, you know, parents are trying to find ways to look after their kids, but it seems like, from what I've seen and heard at least, people have an understanding of why you guys are on strike, why it's led to this point. What have you been hearing in the community?
From the beginning, I was kind of... That was kind of a question mark for me as to whether the community would be with us. And I think right at the beginning, I heard a statistic that like 70% of the population supported us. And from what I've seen, I haven't looked at it for more statistics, but from everything that I've seen, I think I haven't seen any indication of a decrease in that. I think people are still with us. Right here, we have a group of parents from the first graders at the school I work at. That's why I'm not picketing in front of my school. I'm here because parents organized a play date avec le go, and I said, okay, I could come here and do my protesting here, and I get to see the kids who I really miss, so this has been great.
Yeah, there's lots of kids playing in the snow. Before we were chatting, you were over with them. Speaking of le go, though, I heard that there was a possible offer earlier this week, right, that got rejected. There seems to be a bit of a mismatch between what the government is saying they're offering and then what the FAE is actually hearing. How do you, I guess, view the way that the CAC has approached the, you know, the bargaining table, all of the months of negotiating over salaries, over work conditions, things like that?
Well, from what I've heard, and I'm not an expert on this, but it seems like, you know, we've been without a contract for over a year. It seems like the government, not just this government, but every time they like just don't negotiate or do very little for a year until the contracts expire, the contract is well past expired, till we're about to go on strike, till we're on strike, and then they start getting serious. And it's always very frustrating, right, that we let it get to that point instead of fixing it. Only the last time I think they fixed it early, and I think that's because it was like COVID was happening, and they're like, okay, we're going to deal with this, give them a nice big race to get to avoid a strike because we're in the middle of a pandemic. But it seems like if it's not a big crisis like that, they don't seem to care and put it off till the last minute. And don't seem to be doing anything. They're trying to change some things to get some things what they want, and some of them are a bit legitimate, like changing like some of the affectations that I agree with, but we have a huge teacher shortage, and the stuff that they want to do will give them more control, but it's also going to make more people leave the profession, and it's the opposite of what we need because we need more people to stay in the profession.
What is it about the work conditions that you think, or I guess salary even, that is leading to such a big teacher shortage in Quebec? And is it like a result of the pandemic, people just getting burned out, or is it something more structural that you think needs to change in the sector?
It's a good question. It's a lot of things. I think it started before the pandemic. The pandemic like exacerbated it, but you know, yeah, you go somewhere where you don't have a great salary and you are working, especially those first few years of teaching, you're basically working 12-hour days and it's nonstop, and you probably take your first contract at a more difficult school where there's, you know, a lot of difficult kids in your class and you don't get the support, and it's overwhelming, right? And you have to put up with that for many years before you kind of either become used to it or have enough seniority to switch out into a school that better fits you or that's better run. It could be all sorts of things, right? But that's the stories that I'm hearing. I'm in a school that I absolutely love. I have a job that's great. I've been teaching for 20 years, right? So, but the story I'm hearing from teachers who are starting out, and it was like that for me when I was starting out. It's just like so overwhelming, and yeah, people leave too soon.
Friday, December 15th marked the last day of common front strikes, but unless they hear a better offer from the government, an unlimited general strike is on the horizon. The unlimited general strike of the FAE continues. I'm Jules Bijal. Thanks for listening.